I think that's how they made it through the wilderness, was singing songs like that. Maybe the wilderness wasn't so bad if you got... All right, let's pray. God, I look around the room this morning, and I am struck by how wonderful it is for us to be together. Wilderness or no wilderness, wherever we happen to be, I have forgotten already what it was like for us not to get to be together every Sunday. And so I'm reminded, even as we get ready to open your word, of how wonderful it is to be together. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. My best friend, when I was 9 years old, was named Neil Linhart, and he lived across the street from me, kind of diagonal. And we became friends. He was a year younger than me, but we became friends because we lived across the street from each other. We weren't in the same grade, so we didn't have classes together. We saw each other at school occasionally in passing, but you don't spend any time, you know, with kids in different grades. At least you didn't back then. And so we just saw each other at night and on the weekend, and we'd play outside. And especially on the weekends, I would go across the street to his house, and then it always became the, let's go ask your mom if I can spend the night, and you know, how do we approach her so that she'll say yes, and all of that. And so, you know, most of the time she said yes, unless they had to get up and go somewhere on Saturday morning. Well, I spent a lot of Friday nights at Neil's house, and we always did the same thing. At 10 o'clock on Friday night, we listened to AM 55 out of San Antonio, because we lived in the sticks, and so that's the only station that we could get that had cool music. And so we listened to the top 10 at 10 every Friday night, and it was just this, I look back on it, it was just a magical time to get to listen to that. Neil and I always listened to it together, and then, you know, we'd fall asleep around midnight on Friday night, and then Saturday morning we set the alarm for 6 a.m., that's what nine-year-old boys, you know, did. We did. We thought everybody did it, but we did it. Because at 6:30 on Saturday morning was when cartoons started. We told his mom that we were setting the alarm for 6. Why? Because cartoons start at 6:30. Well, why don't you just set it for 6:30? Well, we might miss it. You know, we might miss that movement that happens between, and I'll never forget, there was a talk show that came out of San Antonio at 6 a.m. every Saturday morning called A Better Way. And it was just a talk show, these two people sitting and talking. You know, so we would get a TV come on around 6:15, and we would listen to these people talk, and the credits would roll, and then once the credits rolled, went to black, and then magic. You would hear the start of the best hours in kiddom at 6:30. It was the sound of Woody Woodpecker, you know, the ha 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 ha. That was the beginning of magic for us. You know, and there were other, you know, Flintstones and the Jetsons, and then at 9, hour and a half of Bugs Bunny. It was just the best. And then at 10:30, you know, they'd play other cartoons, but they were never as good as that 6:30 to 10:30. And it was wonderful. I think one of the reasons that was such a fun time is that I had somebody to share that with. You know, we did it together. And I think that's why that was so wonderful. We're going to read Romans 14 today, but really I can just tell you right away, what Romans 14 really comes down to is the importance of doing this stuff together. Really what this comes down to. So just the first 6 verses. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Now, that's not nice. In the Bible, so I got to read it. Okay. Forget about that one. But anyway, those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord, and those who eat eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. I know that this chapter at the end of Romans that is written about how we are supposed to practice what we believe is so important. But again, I think, not to oversimplify it, one of the things this really comes down to is giving each other the benefit of the doubt. We are here this morning, we're individuals, and we're gathered together as one body. Give each other the benefit of the doubt. This is, I think, a really key, important idea that was central to why Paul wrote the whole book of Romans. His longest work, this whole book of Romans, comes down to knowing that if you're here today because you want to please God, and you want to know what it is to please God, and so we give each other the benefit of the doubt, and we do it together, and we help each other along the way. One time, Neil and I were riding bicycles out in front of his house because Neil, he was so lucky, he had a drainage ditch that went through the front of his yard. It was so cool because we would ride from down this other kid, we didn't play with. Anyway, this other kid's house, and we'd ride our bicycles as fast as we could down the road, and then we would hit Neil's drainage ditch and go down it and go up, and we could get air. We could actually go up in the air. It was so much fun. It was just the best. Neil and his little brother had white, I think they were mongoose bikes with spoked wheels. I had a chrome Schwinn with black mag wheels and black handlebars. I still think it's why I prefer black motorcycles to this day, is because of that chrome and black bike. But, oh, it was just so much fun. So we're riding, jumping up in the air, and I guess just while we were taking a break or getting a drink of water, we looked up in the tree, and there was a nest of yellow jackets up in the tree. And there was a bicycle chain on the front porch. And I thought, I wonder what would happen if I threw the chain at that yellow jacket's nest. I bet they would fly around. It would be really cool. Now, I don't remember if Neil told me not to. Neil was 8, and so he probably said, yeah, let's see what happens. So I went and got the chain, and I grabbed it, and I was like, I better get some distance for this. It wasn't enough distance. And I threw the chain at the yellow jacket's nest, and before the chain even left my hand, I think even before it left my hand, I felt this excruciating pain on my head. And I didn't know what had happened. I thought maybe I'd hit myself in the head with the chain. But it was just excruciating. I went running into the house, and that's where Neil's mom, Bonnie, started putting stuff on me. I got stung 8 times on my face and neck. I look back on that. This was before I grew out of my, ignoramus stage. But his mom during those couple of years became a life changer for me. And it comes back to why we do these things together. Back to Romans 14:7. We don't live to ourselves. And we don't die to ourselves. If we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. If your brother or sister who is being injured by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin for one who Christ died. For do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The one who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and has human approval. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. You probably noticed that as Paul is writing to the Roman church, there's something going on. Something happened similar in Corinth, had to do with what they were eating. And it was that some of the people were eating meat offered to idols, because they thought, it's no big deal. There's no such thing as an idol. But other people were really upset by it. And it hurt. It hurt because people were like, who cares what you think? Now, that may or may not be what's going on here. Maybe it was old dietary restrictions from previous life. But whatever it comes down to, we don't interpret in a vacuum. We don't read in a vacuum. None of us are islands. We read this stuff together. And we do it for mutual upbuilding. It's together. Along the way, let us give each other the benefit of the doubt and be gentle. As we see together, as we talk, as we explore, let's be gentle with each other. One time, Neil and I were out in the backyard playing baseball. And we did it all the time. But for some reason, that stage of 9 to 10 to 11, you know, if you've ever had boys, we got stronger during that period. And one time, I was up to bat, and Neil was pitching, and I hit the ball, and I was able to hit it harder and harder, it seemed like, every time I played baseball, until that day, I must have been around 10 or 11, and the ball went off my bat and straight into the living room window. Bonnie, his mom, came running outside. She was a sixth grade teacher at our elementary school. And I remember her saying afterwards that it was the loudest sound that she had ever heard in her life. So imagine being a sixth grade teacher grading papers at the table, no sound, and then the sound of a baseball hitting the window. Well, she came running outside, you know, with this, what happened, you know, just all of this. And by the time Bonnie got out there, it was like the bees. It was like immediate. Hit the ball, baseball hit the window, and I started crying. And I mean, it wasn't just tears rolling down my face. It was the kid single-syllable gasping speech. I did not mean to break your window. You know, that kind of I was just devastated. And not because if I had done that at my house, it would have been bad news. But I wasn't scared for that because I knew Bonnie. She was a very gentle person. But I was terrified because I thought I was going to go to jail. I thought, I broke the window, she's going to call the cops. Because I had heard earlier that year somewhere in school that if you break something and you can't pay for it, you go to jail. And we didn't have any money. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to pay for a window that probably cost, you know, $20,000, $30,000. No way I'm going to be able to pay for this window in my little kid mind. No way I'm going to pay for this window. I'm just devastated. I didn't realize that when they say if you break something and can't pay for it, you go to jail, they're talking about things like cars and corporations. I just thought, break it, can't pay for it, go to jail. So I'm crying. And I remember Bonnie came outside. She's a real tall, skinny lady. She came out and she got on her knees in front of me. She grabbed me. She was like holding my shoulders to calm me down. I don't remember what she said. I don't remember a thing about what she said. But I remember her tone. And it was one of gentleness and one of comfort and one of, you know, calming me down from being so incredibly devastated at that moment. I don't remember what she said. And it's probably completely irrelevant. But I remember the way that she approached me in being so devastated, and I still, to this day, over 40 years later, I still think about Bonnie in front of me, holding my shoulders, and her tone of gentleness and comfort. Which brings us to the end of Romans 14, starting in verse 20, actually spill over into 15. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it's wrong for you to make others fall by what you eat. It's not good to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. The faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve. But those who have doubts are condemned if they eat because they do not act from faith. Whatever does not produce from faith is sin. We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Who are the weak? In Romans, particularly in 12 through 15, when they're trying to figure out how do we live out this stuff together, the weak are the people who are still considering whether or not they should even come to Christ. They're still trying to figure out, do I believe this stuff? Do I understand what all of this is about? These passages of Scripture are meant to help us as we live day to day as a body of Christ, to build up one another in Christ who are the weak. It's those who are leaving Jesus who never were with Jesus in the first place. It's not about interpretation. It's not about opinions. Because again, to today's scripture, and particularly where we ended, may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do often wonder how the people made it through the Exodus. How people made it through decades in the wilderness, where everything that they did and everything God did started from a place of frustration, you know, for them, because it was like, we're in the wilderness and this is hard. And I wonder how people made it. And I often wonder how the people made it in the Roman church living in Rome during the first century, where eventually it actually became dangerous for their lives to be a follower of Jesus. And then I get to thinking, I think I could have made it through the wilderness if I could have ridden through the wilderness with Neil on our bicycles. I met Neil when I was 9 years old. I had no idea when I was 8 that next year I was going to meet one of the best friends I'd ever have in the world. And no idea when I was 8 years old that right around the corner was a best friend just waiting for me. And I had no idea when Neil and I were jumping our bicycles and breaking windows and throwing chains at yellow jackets' nests, I had no idea that about 20 years later, I would be holding this little girl that we named Reese, who I just fell in love with, and she fell in love with me so much that for about a year, I could not do the call to worship on Sunday morning without her sitting on my hip. She wouldn't let me go. I'll be right back. Well, it didn't work. I had no idea that off in my future would be one of the people that I've loved the most in the world and who loves me. I had no idea. And you may be going through a wilderness right now. And we may be together going through a wilderness together. But it occurs to me that there is a good possibility that you likely have yet to meet all the people who are going to love you. You haven't met yet all the people that you'll have an opportunity to love. Some of those people are still off in the future. And knowing that, I'm pretty sure that we can make it through any temporary wilderness that this world could possibly conceive. And it's because we can do it together. Amen.